Thank you, Lord. I am going to do a message this morning. Now, normally, what you see in the bulletin is going to some way or other relate to the message that I preached that morning. Except, if we can relate what I'm saying this morning to what I had in the bulletin this morning, it will be purely the work of the Holy Spirit in some area that I haven't suspected yet. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. Occasionally, the Lord pulls a mysterious I don't know if you'd call it a joke or what. But every once in a while, he just won't give me what I'm supposed to be preaching on. And I didn't even have it when I wrote the article for the paper. I mean, for the bulletin. I didn't have it yesterday. I did not know what the Lord was going to have me minister on this morning. I even told Laverne, I said, well, maybe he is coming because he hasn't given me a message for Sunday morning. And as he always does, he came through. Did I tell you to turn John chapter 8?
Yeah.
Okay. Begin with verse 25. Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." And he, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, as he spoke these words, telling who he was, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. I read that first part because I wanted you to know that verse 31 is in reference to the fact that a lot of the Jews had heard him declare who he was. Because of that, they believed him. And then he said to them, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that are not free. There's something that's controlling their lives apart from them. There is something that is working in them that they have no control over, because they do not know the source of freedom. I'll tell you what, a person that is under the control of alcohol is never going to get out from under the control of alcohol apart from the one that sets you free. Somebody that's under the power of drugs needs the one that sets you free to be free from drugs. and all of those things. Now look what he said, just real quickly, I want to lay a little background here. If you abide in my word. Now who did he say that to? He said that to the ones who believe. Now, you can believe in Jesus Christ and maybe you'll get a home in heaven one of these days, but if you don't abide in his word, you will not be free in this life. You will not be free as you walk around in this world. It takes the word of God to keep us free. And he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is one who learns from somebody. The reason Jesus called the 12 of them disciples is because they were learning from him. He was teaching them and they were learning. Now it's amazing to me how many people that I meet in the body of Christ that think they know everything. I meet people that aren't even in the body of Christ, but they know what they would believe if they got saved. You know, you can't know what you need to believe when you're lost, because you can't comprehend that. The natural man does not understand spiritual things. But to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to learn from him. Now, we can't do like the disciples did. We can't follow him around out in the desert. We can't go to his meeting over here. We can't ride in the boat with him over here on Lake Cumberland or Green River Lake. We have to hear his teaching and hear his word someplace else. And the place that we do that is in the word of God. And that's why it's important that if you're in a church, you're in a church that will preach the word of God. And I'm telling you, you can't learn enough of the word of God to get you through if all of the word of God you have is 45 minutes on Sunday morning. You know, the best we can do, the best that can happen on Sunday morning is to stir you up. To get you going, and hopefully you're going to let Jesus disciple you the rest of the week. You're going to get into the Word of God. You're going to read the Word of God. And people, you know, they say, well, I just don't understand it. When you first started algebra, maybe you went all the way through it and you didn't understand it, but I guarantee you learned some of it. When you started algebra, your first lesson, the first day in the algebra class, and the teacher started talking about that stuff, and you think, I don't understand a bit of this. I don't understand what they're talking about. I can remember being there, but you know how you get to understand it? By working with it. You get a piece of equipment, it comes with an instruction manual. You got stuff on your cars you don't know how to work. And you know why? Because you just looked at it and said, I don't understand it. You didn't take the little book that comes with that car that explains how everything in that car works. Well, we got a book that comes with life. This book right here comes with life. It's the instruction manual to live. And it covers everything we need to know. And if we don't take time to read it and to learn it, we're not going to know how to live. There's people make all kinds of decisions out there in the world that come back to haunt them. And they don't make it because of what they found in this book. They make it because of what they feel, what they see. You know, you see that in the disciples. Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up? Jesus said, you guys don't even understand what you're doing. Yeah. Well, Lord, I came here on behalf of my boys. When you come into your kingdom, can one sit on one side and one on the other? That's not the way it works, hon. I'm sorry. He's teaching. And you shall know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? by abiding in His Word and becoming His disciple. It's not going to just soak into you by osmosis. And I'll tell you what, living in a household where somebody else is serving God, it's not going to soak into you either. It may influence you. You may pick up a little bit, but it won't change your life until you decide to change your life. Nobody is going to make it through this life on mama or daddy's or grandma's spirituality. You've got to develop it as your own. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, by abiding in His Word, by being His disciple, it helps you to know the truth. And when you know the truth shall make you free. But you may be thinking, well, I know a lot of people that know the truth, and it didn't help them much. See, the problem is knowing what knowing is. Listen. To know the truth is to perceive, to understand, to recognize, to gain knowledge, to realize, to come to know. It is the knowledge that has an inception of progress and attainment. It is the recognition of truth by personal experience. It's the same type word that is used in the Old Testament when it talks about Adam knowing Eve. It's an intimate connection with. Not just knowing about. It's accepting it as part of you. Now the Scripture says, man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife, and the two become one. That is the biblical knowing. The two become one. We're not talking about knowing what the Bible says. We're talking about becoming one with the Word. And you've got to understand the Word is a little bit more involved than the words on the page of a book. The Word is a living person known as Jesus Christ. And when we become one with Him and accept His teaching, accepting His words, that is the thing that sets us free. You know, I can know what the Bible says and do something contrary to the Bible, and I'm not going to stay free. Just knowing that I shouldn't be doing this is not going to keep me free. Somebody that knows they shouldn't be drinking is not going to stay free from becoming an alcoholic because they know she shouldn't drink. You know. Apply that to any other area you want to. But shall be free. The truth shall make you free. Let's look at a handful of things that the truth will make you free from. The first thing the truth will make you free from, if you really learn it, it'll make you free from the curse of the law. Galatians 3 says that we have been freed from the curse of the law through Jesus Christ. Now, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is that because of the law, every man is a sinner. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Galatians 3 says we've been redeemed from the curse. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't know that. There's Christians, churches are full of people that don't know they've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because the pastor gets up and preaches all the law that they're supposed to be keeping. Not telling them how to live, not telling them how to be free from all of this stuff, but just saying, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this. And what are you under? You're under the law. But the But we are free when we understand God's word. We are free from the curse of the law. Now, no, I better not say it yet. I'll hold it for further down the road. Second thing that we're free from by knowledge of the truth is we're free from the guilt of sin. We're free from the guilt of sin. There's a lot of people walking around as guilty as sheep killing dogs. And can't figure out any way to get out of that. They think they got to live their whole life guilty of something. We have been declared innocent. The courts declared us justified. We are no longer under the guilt of sin. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you got to understand that what Paul was saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after immoral ways, but after the Spirit. He's talking about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. That expression, walking not after the flesh, is Paul's way of saying they're not under the law. Because you see the whole issue there, the Jewish people were trying to get the Gentiles to get under the law. And Paul is saying you can't ever do it. If you try to get under the law, you've fallen from grace. You know, a lot of people in church use, if you go out here and start sinning again, you've fallen from grace. But the actual context of it is that if you start trying to be justified by the works of the law, you've fallen from grace. And then grace can't help you. Why? Because you put yourself back under the law. Now, I want to say this. Not only are we delivered and freed from the guilt of sin, we are freed from the power of sin. And there is the issue. People that go ahead and sin and say, well, there's no guilt in sin, and you know, you just believe and you sin, they are still under the power of sin. I've told you this before, I'll say it again. In 1 John, in 1 John it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now in the early part of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was a key. That was one of the keys that they hung their belief and their theology on. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. That he might destroy the work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? It's sin. In whatever way it manifests itself. Whether it's sin of action, sin of attitude, sin of thought, sin of theology, whatever it may be, it's the work of the devil. And what you see there is a power item that somewhere down the quarters of time, the church lost. Because when the church finally woke up, their main concern was getting rid of the penalty of sin. Now, absolution. Remember that term? Absolution of sin. Get rid of the consequences. get rid of the penalty. Don't turn a mafia hitman's heart. Just absolve him of the crime of murder that he committed. And the issue is not that, but the issue is if that is as far as we go. And even in any church, somebody comes forward, they pray. Many times the only recognition is that they just got their sins forgiven. Got your sins forgiven. Now go out and live right. Now I told them that Jesus Christ gave them power over sin. Nobody told them that they were free from the power of sin. They were just forgiven, and they better not go out and do it no more. But we, through the Word of God, have been set free not only from the penalty of sin, but from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. Now, truth and reality is through the Word of God, through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we've been set free from anything that would hurt us. So I can't go through everything this morning that we've been set free from. I don't have time. You wouldn't want to sit here that long. But I'm going through some general categories, and you put it underneath that, because once we get the general category, we can deal with the specifics. And another thing that the Word of God and abiding in Him and being a disciple and knowing the truth, another thing that the truth will set us free from is false doctrine and false ideas. If you don't know what the Bible says, you can be led astray by anybody that tells you something. Particularly if they can use some scripture to seem to support what it is they're talking about. How many people were led astray yesterday? And because some people were led astray yesterday, the whole idea, in somewhat or another, got mocked. But false doctrine, false ideas. And you know, some of the things we may not be able to come to complete understanding of, but we can have enough information to say, okay, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, but it is definitely not that. Just like the thing with the rapture. I had a Bible lesson up at the hospital the other morning on the rapture. When I was in cardiac rehab. Somebody asked a question and that got me started. I actually went past my time of walking. I don't know what we got back there. Must be. But I knew that he wasn't coming back yesterday at 6 o'clock. If there was any time that I would have said he's not coming back, it's Saturday, May the 21st at 6 o'clock. He said, well, why do you say that? Because the scripture says, no man knows the day or the hour. Now, and think about this. I mean, I don't know that individual. He may be a fine man, Mr. Reverend Camping. But I don't know him. But I told Laverne yesterday, I said, if that man was told by God that this is going to happen, I said, he's got some kind of connection with God that most of the ministers I know don't have. And what would it be? Is it possible? The scripture doesn't tell me that God's going to tell a man. The first one that's going to know is going to be the Son. And then the angels might start suspecting stuff, but they'll find out pretty quick. When Jesus said, I'm getting on my horse, let's go. Woo! It's time! But you know, the scripture says, there's going to be people that are going to say, we found the Christ, he's over here. We found the Christ, he's over there. You know, let's go over here and see him. Go over there and see him. Jesus said, that's going to happen, but don't let it deceive you. Now, if you know the Word of God, you'll understand that. False doctrines and strange ideas we've been set free from. And the last general subject that I want to say we've been set free from is we've been set free from sin and death. We have been set free from sin and death. You know, Jesus Christ already won the victory over sin. He won the victory over death. And He's given us a share of it if we will believe Him and we will accept and receive His Word. But we have got to receive His Word. His Word. And there was something that got on my heart, and I don't think I have ever done this before. But I just felt like the Lord speaking to me to share an example of something in my life. And this is basically for the younger people this morning. Teenagers. Early 20s, but basically teenagers. Because I know that there's a world out there that is drawing young people. It's pulling them. And we've got different ideas about things. And I want to say this to all of you, but particularly to the young people. Make your decisions based upon what you know to be the truth. No matter what it costs you. Because in the end, by standing with what you know to be the truth, you will prosper much more than you will by allowing your choices to be simply something of convenience or emotion. Many people's lives have been ruined by an emotional choice. You have to overcome them once you do that. Now here's the example that I want to share with you. Many years ago in a galaxy far away, I was actually in school. And I went to the Columbia Grade Center. I went 8 years to the Columbia Grade Center. Some of you have never seen the Columbia Grade Center because it's been gone since before you were born. And I went 8 years there, and you know, during that 8 year period of time, I developed friendship with a lot of people. I had some good friends that I grew up with during that period of time. And a lot of them, or a bunch of them, went to the same church that I went to. It was just, you know, it just kind of developed a relationship with them because you saw them at school and you saw them on the weekends at church. And some of them, for a period of time there, not every Sunday, but a lot of the Sundays, on Sunday after church, I'd go home with them or they'd come home with me. And we'd spend the afternoon hanging out and playing, doing all that kind of stuff, and go back to church that night. And I did that with those guys all the way through our grade school years till we got in high school. And in case you haven't figured it out, and I guess you have if you've experienced it, and I think most of everybody in here is old enough to experience it, something changes when you go from eighth grade to high school, particularly if you got to go to a different building, to a different location. And so we went through that process, and we went into We went into high school. And I hadn't realized that until the Lord just kind of got me thinking. I didn't realize this particular part. All of those guys that I was friends with and hung out with and ran around with, when we went to high school, it seemed like most of them, in some way that I wasn't quite sure what was at the time, changed. They changed in somewhat in their behavior and their attitude. And it was some things that I wasn't particularly comfortable with. And so I had to make a choice. I either had to get used to these things that I was uncomfortable with, or I had to back off on my friendship with the friends that I had grown up with for 8 years. That's the only two choices I had. And because I had been taught something, because I grew up believing something, it became important enough to me that I chose what I believed to be right over hanging out with my friends. Yeah, that's a heavy choice. And I had a whole different set of friends in high school. And I got to college. I had the same thing again. Same choice again. I did have one friend that we went from high school to college together, and that was a strength to both of us. And we stayed friends during college, close friends. But I had other guys that were in certain groups with me, classwork, clubs, school projects. Particularly, one made a trip to St. Louis once to represent our college, and it was in 1968, and Campbellsville College at that time represented the nation of Israel. 1968 is 1 year after 1967. 1967 was the Six-Day War. Guess what was going on that year in the United Nations meeting? Everything centered around us. We didn't know we were going to get to be the center of attention when we went out there. We knew we couldn't get a big country because the bigger schools got to represent the big countries. So we just put in a couple of little countries here and there, and one of them was Israel. And don't you know we got it? That bunch that I went with, we did a good job representing the country. But I couldn't hang out with them. I couldn't hang out with none of them. Not to hold up my standards. So I spent most of the time either patrolling around by myself, or the free time that we had, or in the hotel room, or trying to keep some of the others out of sight of our professor that was with us, that was the chaperone, so they wouldn't really get into trouble. And I went out there. I came back. I did not allow that to change what I believed, or it just wasn't important. And by that time, they knew me well enough that they didn't put any pressure on me, and they were just as glad that I didn't hang out with them, because they would have probably felt guilty doing what they were doing if I'd have been there with them. Because some of them were from good Christian homes, Brother Bob. You know most of them. And one of them, whose dad at that time was on the board at the school, about, I don't know, maybe a month, 6 weeks after we came back from out there, I saw him one day. He's walking down the campus, and he hollered at me. And he knew that I knew this, but you know, he knew that I wasn't interested either. He said, "Hey," he said, "I just drank the last one." His stash that he brought back from St. Louis. See, all of that is here, young people. Now, you go back. I was particular about dating. Particular about who I dated. There were some girls I could have dated. I didn't want to date them. They scared me. It would have been too much of a temptation. And I made a choice. And you know, sometimes you think if you don't grab the first one that comes along, you're liable to miss out forever. Well, I got to be in college, and I turned around one day, and this little girl at church had grown up some way or another over the last few years, and I hadn't paid any attention to her. And just kind of, some people say it was fate. Some of them was God. And I turned around, and there she was. I thought, Because my mother had already told me one time that she was one of the prettiest girls at church, and I looked at my mom like, "What?" I mean, I even noticed. And I ended up with her because of some of the choices I made. Because I was discretionary. Because I was interested in standing with what I believed rather than grabbing some emotional trophy or token. Through high school, I made a trip to when I was a sophomore, or between my freshman and sophomore season, the year I got my hand cut off. Now you talk about adding trauma to stuff. Made a trip to New Mexico, met my aunt's sister one night out there. I had a habit then. I would walk around with the stub of my arm stuck in my pocket, so it wouldn't be quite as noticeable. I was doing that night, and I'd never met this woman before in my life. And we were at her house, my uncle and I. And she said to me, "Son, you don't have to be embarrassed or self-conscious about that arm." She realized that's what I was doing. And of all the things that she could have said with regard to helping me to get over that idea, she said to me, "Someday there'll be some pretty little girl that will be glad to to walk down the aisle holding that arm. And I thought, wow. And 1968, that happened. 43 years ago this year. And I was thinking about this, and Laverne didn't even know what my sermon was going to be today. And I was thinking about this morning as we were coming to church, and I looked at it and I said, you know, I said, 43 years. I said, it's been 43 years, and you have never caused me a moment of trauma. And I have caused you only a little bit. And I believe that I have had 43 years of blessing because of two things. The first thing is because I made a decision that the most important thing that there is going on this planet is to make sure that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If Laverne had not been a Christian, I would never have dated her. If I had not been a Christian, Laverne would never have dated me. I'll tell you, I'll go a step further. At that particular time, if Laverne, we were going to the Columbia EUB Church, which is now Trinity United Methodist Church. So we grew up basically the Evangelical EUB, Evangelical United Brethren. Basically their beliefs were the same as the Methodists with regard to the basic doctrines. But if Laverne, at that time, if Laverne had been a Baptist, I don't know if I'd have dated her. Because it was an important issue about what the person you were going to connect with believed. Now I realize, you know, I got to own and realize that there's saved people in the Baptist church. And there's lost people in the Methodist. And you can just go across the rest of the gamut. There's Pentecostals that are going to heaven and Pentecostals that think they are. But I learned that part. But a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have never ever laid down at night with the fear that somebody would knock on my door and it would be the police. I have never been in my car driving down the road and ever feared that I would pass a policeman and they'd pull me over and I'd get a DUI. I have never, ever run the risk of being arrested for controlled substance abuse. Now, there's some people that would say, well, you didn't have much excitement in your life, did you? I didn't have that kind of excitement. I mean, if you think trying to avoid the law is excitement, I never had any. If you think being stoned out of your head is excitement, I never had any. If you think problems that most people have are excitement in life, I didn't have any. Wondering whether or not I had some kid somewhere that I didn't know about? I didn't have any. But I tell you what, I have enjoyed myself tremendously through life. And I don't feel like I've missed anything. And I know when this life is over, I got a clean shot. Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you see, there's one thing else. Because, you know, I've met people in the worst shape in the world. I mean, they got stuff going on all the way to here. They're not in it up to their nose. They're in it all the way over their head. And they look like they love Jesus. They talk like they love Jesus. And I really believe that in a lot of cases, they do. We go to prison, go to jail. These guys in there are the love of God. But as soon as they get out, they're going to mess up. For some reason or other. And it doesn't mean that they're not a Christian. It means that they're not doing what I'm getting ready to say the other thing was. That's accounted for the blessing of my life. And that is always choosing based upon your standard of belief rather than the convenience of the moment. Somebody, I've been offered beers, I've been offered cigarettes, never been offered any drugs, but I was offered beer, I was offered cigarettes, and the group I was in, everybody else was doing it. Now, I could have done it to fit in, or I could have said no based upon the standards that I had set for myself. And you know, sometimes when I said no, I caught grief. And I'm thinking, say what you want to. Some of those guys, some of them's been sick. And that's something, you know, that's something that's going to happen to everybody. Some of them been in jail. We usually choose that. You don't get put in jail for no reason most of the time. You know, there may be some innocent people. But even if they're innocent of that, they're probably guilty of something they didn't get caught for. Because you just develop a profile. You develop a profile. And as far as I know, in all my life, I've never been under surveillance. Unless it was by some group trying to figure out what I was spiritually wise. I once did hear that I was on the local witches coven's hit list years and years ago. I'm still here and I don't know where they are. But you know, and I know that none of us are too old to take to heart what I just got through saying. But young people, young adults, teenagers, your life is going to be set by how seriously you take your relationship with Jesus Christ and how well you choose in life based on your standards, based upon the Word of God. Knowing the truth, becoming part of the truth, abiding in Jesus Christ will make you free. Let's stand. Oh, let me say something else. The Lord just popped something into my mind. Back on this thing. My friends at school were not the guys in my youth group. I didn't run around with the guy. I mean, I was in church with people in the youth group, but at school, I hung out with other people. I went to that because that was the church that my family went to. And I went there because that's where we should go. We should go to church. And I tolerated, now listen to me, I tolerated preaching services. I can't tell you that I enjoyed them, but I tolerated them because I knew that was what I should do. And you know, while I was tolerating them, I actually learned some stuff. You know, I didn't go into Sunday school. Was pretty good because, you know, still you're in with your age group and you had all of that, but you get in church in there, you know. And I'd get fussed at sometimes after church. I don't see you talking anymore. Okay. But I did. But it instilled in me standards. And I learned something and I didn't even know I was learning it and I didn't care at the time. But now that I look back, I'm glad I was smart enough to do it. Because it's changed a life that could have been a miserable mess into a life that's been blessed. And it'll happen for anybody, not just me. Let's bow our heads.